everyone, and welcome to episode 46 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper, and here with me is...
Tom McGreen.
Ryan Telgener.
And Lucas Sullivan.
Henry is legitimately on vacation this week, so he's not joining us.
He's at the slot.
It was very difficult to get that guy to say, all right, I'm not going to do any work.
We had a meeting, and at one point he's just like, if you want to put me on the calendar for some features during my vacation week, and we're like, why? You're on vacation. It's not like you're actually on vacation,
You are
bro.
In Las Vegas, the city of sin,
yes.
Thinking about doing...
Sinning it up.
Top
sin a
seven
in only
characters.
The ways.
Sin a little. That's all.
Henry Gilbert.
And only the way Henry Gilbert can
sing. Though that said, we probably should have recorded this earlier because now we don't have a review of Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Right. And also earlier in the day, because it's 3:04 p.m. on a Friday, and things got a little out of control.
Quarter after three.
I'm a little... I wish.
There
we go. So, a little I wish.
Episode 46, we got a pretty packed show regardless, starting with the top seven, which is the top seven things we're surprised Nintendo hasn't done yet.
Did I do that right?
No.
Is that bad? Could you... punctuate that correctly?
No. I'll punctuate something.
Your
trachea.
Whoa!
Your trachea. Your esophagus is about to get punctuated.
It's not the way esophagus is.
It's way funnier if you say it that way, though. That's the thing.
It almost sounds offensive.
It does.
It sounds super
It's like,
offensive.
What did you just call me? I called you an esophagus. Like, wow. Actually, the word esophagus, if you say it, even if you say it correctly, but you say it with force, it still sounds offensive.
Esophagus!
Get your fucking esophagus out of here. And they're like, wow, chill out, man.
I don't think that there are words that should be weaponized. Esophagus is one of them.
I'm happy that it has been, because it's very funny.
Moist is another one.
Moist. Yeah. Did we talk about this before?
Like, really excited
that word is really disgusting, and if you just replace...
It's not that bad.
But I mean, like, if you replace the word, like, oh, that's really cool, or that's great. Like, if you said moist instead of, like, wow, that's really moist.
It's a really moist game.
So in other words, we're going to talk about some things that if Nintendo did them, it would just be really moist.
Right.
Wow, Nintendo, that's so moist.
That's why it sounds weird. When you say... Oh, wow, that's so moist. Right. In a discussion with somebody? Ugh, that's the weird thing.
Yeah. I'm fine with it.
Mom, this egg quiche is so moist.
I mean, it's the inflection that's making it creepy.
I was really talking about the egg quiche.
It's you. It's disgusting.
Anyways, back to the top seven.
This is a rough day. So the top seven things we're surprised Nintendo hasn't done yet. Nintendo's a company that has done a lot of things. It's been around. We've been writing, I don't know if you know this, but sometimes Games Radar writes lists. We wrote some lists about, like, gaming history, and Nintendo comes up all the time because they were there for every moment.
Yeah.
They were there for the creation of handhelds in their modern form, the creation of consoles in their modern form, platformers, even things like shooters were sort of... Metroid Prime did some amazing things with shooters, and GoldenEye was originally made by a company that Nintendo owned. So it all really goes back to Nintendo. But recently, Nintendo has been doing less forward-thinking
innovations.
Things. Yes, and not all of these things are innovations, but some of them are just things that if Nintendo did them, they'd be really successful, and none of them seem all that difficult to do. Starting with number seven, nab third-party sequels to fan-favorite franchises. So Nintendo has a fuck ton of money.
They do. They do have that.
Just a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they're not really spending it on things that will lead to the health of their console.
There is a hoarding mentality going on.
Yeah, so they did it a little. Like, they threw out a bunch of money for Bayonetta, because... Platinum flat out said, like, yeah, no one else wanted to publish Bayonetta 2. Nintendo's just doing it, but I don't think they should stop there. I think if Nintendo went around and just said, like, oh, what's that? You're making Beyond Good and Evil 2. It's just make it a Wii U game.
So when in this number seven, you're kind of more talking about... Are you talking about more games that probably wouldn't exist if Nintendo didn't pick them up?
Yes.
The fan favorite.
So games like Beyond Good and Evil 2, which it seems like it might... There's a chance it may never...
Sure.
Materialize, or if they would have thrown down a bunch of money for Kingdom Hearts late last generation to get it, like things like that. Nintendo, like all these sequels that people are like, oh, why isn't there a new Shenmue? How much fucking money could a Shenmue? Like, if you
we know how much money
a lot.
We know how much a Shenmue cost before, but nowadays they could probably knock a Shenmue out for nothing. If Shenmue wouldn't have much higher production values than a fucking Yakuza game. So just take out your wallet and do some shit with it. Do some fancy stuff.
Start spending them rupees.
Yes.
That was a good joke I made about Nintendo. God damn it.
Number six, added an achievement slash trophy style system. Now, this one probably sparked the most controversy in the comments because there are some people that are saying they don't want it. Now, what does everyone, what do you guys think about trophies or achievements?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the whole conversation about gamification. Does gamification actually help people who are people who play real games, or is it just something that you want to throw on your website to be like, oh, now you can like get 5 oranges if you click this button 20 times or something? But it's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the whole achievement system is. Do I sound muffled to you all, or is that just my headphones?
I think it's your headphones.
Yeah. But I think we're seeing like people having this backlash against achievements and trophies, or at least skepticism for the next gen for the Xbox One and PS4. So I don't know if it makes sense for Nintendo to just be like, oh, you guys are now kind of deprioritizing it. Let's get on that bandwagon.
But I feel like Microsoft has announced that they're making it a major feature. Like, developers are going to be able to dynamically add achievements. Like, they're actually enhancing them.
But it seems like the actual people, like the people who play games and buy games,
like
aren't particularly enthused about it.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that love them, and the people who don't give a shit just don't do them. Like, I don't think there's any harm in not putting them in. And I'm sure if Nintendo did, that they'd have some bizarre, cute way to go about it.
Yeah, that's sort of what I talk about in the article. It's like Nintendo has the Miiverse, they have Miis. It feels like that's a way they could kind of tie their achievements together. And the 3DS already has unlocking hats and
stuff.
Yeah,
like add some functionality like that. Maybe not even achievements in the way we're used to thinking about them, but you know, rewards for completing.
Sort of probably just like you know how. It's been a long ass week.
My brain feels like it's off.
I can't wait to play League of Legends.
I think that might be the reason all of our brains are off.
It's possible.
But if you look at Xbox Live, there's the games that unlock avatar awards it's not a huge exciting thing, but I feel like if Nintendo made a bigger push and it's like every game that comes out, every Nintendo game will have a bunch of fucking hats to unlock,
yep.
and we'll make some stuff for other third-party games. Assassin's Creed, you get a hood. Like, I feel like, and it would transfer over to your 3DS too. I feel like that would actually, you just want incentive. Like, I've finished games before that I wouldn't have finished because, fuck it, I'll get a 10-point achievement. I'll get a pat on the head.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yes, it's true for me as well.
I've played games.
What is your gamer score?
Mine's like 60 something thousand.
Yeah. Mine's only like in the 30,000s.
And you're like, I need those 10 points? Or it's probably that high because you're like, I need those 10
points. Yeah, and honestly, I don't even care about achievements usually, but I'll be playing a game and I'll get to a level and I'll just like hit the guide button and be like, oh, if I don't touch the lava, I get 5 points. Looks like I'm just going to try not to touch the lava. I feel like a lot of games should even just acknowledge it more. Like a little pop-up. It's like, don't touch the lava, bro.
I like the ones that have the little counter menus that come up. They're like, you need to kill 20 more of these
things.
In
some games. I feel like Mass Effect is a story-based game, and having like 17 out of 35 headshots pop up is sort of immersion-breaking.
Yeah. It depends on the game, but sometimes
I enjoy
it. Well,
it's kind of like if the game isn't fun enough on its own, they have to add in those additional little fun elements.
I feel like that's not a bad thing. Like, that's just a thing to do. It's like, if you play Call of Duty's multiplayer, it's really fun, and part of the enjoyment is like, oh man, if I get 10 more headshots, I get 20 experience. Like, it's just another thing to do.
Well, think of it this way, too. Like, you know, people have been doing this shit anyways for many, many years, just because, like, if you think back, like, I remember when I was big into Final Fantasy VII, and I would read game facts about Final Fantasy VII, there'd be all these challenge guides, like, collect everything and here's how you do it and all this stuff that essentially now there's just these virtual points tied to. But it's like a lot of people who are especially like the hardcore fans of certain games just would do that on their own just to do it.
Yeah,
and now that they have extra incentive, now a lot more people do it.
And if Nintendo did it, they'd do it in a cuter way. Like, even the act of fucking transferring your Wii to your Wii U, just transferring that data, Pikmin carry it through a tube. It's like, they could have just, like, if you do it on the Xbox, it's a loading bar. But Nintendo's like, well, hold on. We need to weave a narrative into this. And it ends up making it, like, if when I do it on the Xbox 360, it's like, I'll transfer it, and I leave the room and come back. And I'm sitting there when it's on a Nintendo system just, like, staring at the screen and smiling, like, this is really nice.
Hey,
this
buddy,
is...
welcome back. We're just transferring your stuff.
Fuck it. We'll talk about it later, but the 3DS games that you can buy, the new Nintendo Street Pass 3DS games, a bunny rabbit thanks you for buying them. And I was like, you're welcome. Like, that's awesome. You're so welcome. I was really excited.
I just realized why I'm having such a hard time talking about this top seven.
You don't care.
I just don't like Nintendo. Like, I actually, when fun is considered having a bunny rabbit deliver you something, it's not a good time.
I also just noticed that your shirt is a dog with a cone around its head.
That's his Friday shirt, and I really like it.
Wait, so what is the record needle? Is it the dog's...
What is it?
No, yeah. Get at the dog, and then his cone head is taking place of the phonograph.
No, I know, but to
it's
read
his penis.
The record.
That's what you're asking. Yeah.
It's his penis.
There's a dog standing
on a needle point?
It's this little red rocket.
Oh, you were trying to... His slimy little red rocket just...
His moist little red rocket.
God damn it.
You're gross, Tom.
All right, let's move
on. Why don't you wear that on a shirt?
Number five, released more Wii games on the 3DS. This is a pretty basic one. They've done it with a few games, and just they did it with N64 games as well. But the Wii had a lot of really good games that just people didn't play. People didn't go to the Wii for hardcore, quote-unquote, experiences, and those games did come out on the Wii while people sat at their computers complaining about them not coming to the Wii. And those games are sort of just sitting there not being played now, but the 3DS is pretty much same power-wise as the Wii U, the original Wii. They're pretty close. As seen with Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, it looked pretty much the same. And I feel like if you just start taking games like Mad World, like Silent Hill Shattered Memories, Zack and Wiki might be a hard sell because it's so much based on its motion control. But I feel like all those games, it's just like, hey, let's just make them. Like, it wouldn't
How hard could it be?
It wouldn't take more than, like, especially since some of those games have freaking PS2 versions.
Yeah.
It'd be an easy fix.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder, though, if, like, a lot of those games are just some played because people didn't give a shit about them. And so now...
I think
people
didn't give a shit about them because they were on a system people didn't look to for that sort of experience.
Yeah, I suppose.
Number four, dropped the price on the Wii U.
Easy. I mean, considering the PS4 is going to launch $50 more, who's going to buy a Wii U when you need a PlayStation 4?
Yeah.
Hardly any more money.
Yeah.
We'll definitely see this. Absolutely, we will definitely see this when the PS4 and Xbox.
And I think Nintendo does what they did with the 3DS, where they do their sort of apology dance and give you some free shit. I think they'll give you some free shit. It won't be as big as the ambassador stuff. Like, they'll just be like, here's Zelda, original Zelda on the Wii U.
Has the lineup really been that bad for the Wii U?
I mean, it's
not nearly as bad as the 3DS.
It's pretty barren still.
Yeah, but we waited to make a best 3DS games list a long time because getting to 10 was hard. It wasn't that hard to make a 10 list when the Wii U came out. And there's been an update a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like we haven't reached a point where the library is so bad that they should need to feel like they... It's like, right now, for them to apologize is to apologize for launching a console.
Yeah, but the apology is more the early adoptors by having a price cut so close to launch. That was more what the apology was for when the ambassador thing. It's like, we made you spend $250 like a year, like 7 months ago, and now it's $170.
Yeah, I think that, I'm trying to remember how long it was that the 3DS was out.
Less than a year.
It was less than a year. Yeah. I feel like it was like 6 months.
Yeah,
and
it was.
At this point, it's been about a year.
I think it was like April, because the system came out in November, and I think it was around April when that happened.
Yeah,
it was rough.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's a simple thing. I don't think you'll see more than a... I think you'll see a $50 price drop, and then they'll make the... I think they have to get rid of the Wii U Basic. There's no need for that system. Hard drives don't cost that much. They really don't cost that much. And even so, the premium one only has 32 gigs, so compared to next-gen's 500...
I've had a 2-terabyte external hard drive sitting around for a long time, and I was like, what am I going to do with this thing? It's so big, and I don't have any... So now it is my Wii U hard drive.
There you go. It all works out. Did you find the...
I'm looking.
All right, let's just talk about moist things for the next...
Okay,
towels.
So on February 26, 2011, it was released. They announced less than 6 months later, June 28th, that it was getting a huge price cut.
So
I think they enacted that price cut in early August.
So wow. We've already passed that point. The 6 month.
Oh yeah. Well, we well passed it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Nintendo really has anything to apologize for the first.
Yeah.
Year,
I mean,
Wii U.
It wasn't
a new console. Like,
and it wasn't an obnoxious price.
Yeah. And if you're buying it for any piece of technology, if you're buying it the first year, especially one that's going to have like a 10-year lifespan or whatever, The first year is just going to be like barren.
Well,
it's sparse. You're
and
not
plus,
find
it's easy to say now that it's overpriced when we know that the PlayStation 4 is going to be $400.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was like, oh yeah, that's actually kind of good.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I think what might be even more of a reason to do some kind of free game initiative is just because both of the competition are doing it. Like, and Nintendo's in an easier place. They could just like. Microsoft got laughed at for saying we're giving you Fable and Halo 3 and Assassin's Creed 2. Meanwhile, if Nintendo was like, hey, do you guys want
everything?
They could just
own.
Be like, you guys want Super Mario Bros. 2 for free? People would be like, thanks, Nintendo! That's really cool! Like, if they just gave a free virtual console game a month, like, those games that are fucking 15 cents a month right now, just make them free. And
how low do you think they
and make
they
a
drop
bunny bunny rabbit deliver them?
$200?
We'll all be
no,
happy.
No, I think they do 250.
I think they do 200.
250
no
was
way.
The sweet
200 for what?
The Wii didn't even get there for a while, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Right, but the let's see. I'm trying to remember.
Are you talking about price drop for Wii U?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think it's going to go straight to 200.
250.
It's too low.
250, but it'll be the higher version. So it'll be essentially $100
price
drop.
God, I'd be surprised if it even went 250.
Well, right now it's 300.
Oh, is it?
For the basic.
The basic is 300.
Which is the same, which either way you need to buy. Like, I actually kind of prefer that in a way. Like, if Sony said, hey, the PS4 is $400 for a 500-gig version, or we're making like a 10-gig version for 200, I'd buy that, or 300. I'd buy the 300 version and then just buy a terabyte hard drive. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what Nintendo did. And I kind of think that's a good tactic because you could just use any hard drive pretty much.
Yeah, no, that's definitely nice.
But yeah, so what you're thinking? 250?
250.
You think they go just balls deep on that price cut?
No, I'm saying 200 actually.
Oh,
I'm saying 200. I'm saying because
you're
there
crazy.
Is a
Galactica
huge,
actual.
People are gonna line up the Wii U and the Xbox One, and they're gonna be like, or the PS4, and they're just gonna be like, are you kidding me?
No, I think 250 is where they're going to go. There's no way they're going
to
go.
They're
going
to have to introduce a lot.
If they go to 200, they will need to go on an apology tour.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But they're going to have to add a bunch of functionality, irrespective of what happens.
I don't know. I think 250 will be fine, because at that point, they're $150 away from their next competitor.
And they have more good games, because next-gen launch lineup so far is not looking that great. It's like, so you're saying the people who are putting them next to each other, it's like you have a kid. Are you really going to fucking buy Knack over two or three Mario games that you know they'd love? Knack is... I'm excited for Knack, and I know you fucking...
I played Knack, and I am not excited for
Knack. Yeah, so I feel like when it actually goes to that, like, that decision that you're talking about, Nintendo wins every time, especially if they're $50 less, even.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't care about putting a fucking Blu-ray player in their kid's room. Number three, bought more non-Japanese studios. So Nintendo owns a bunch of Japanese studios that are pumping out occasional games.
But
slow as shit.
Over the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of Japanese companies being like, all right, we have to get into the Western market. Our games are not appealing to the Western market. We're going to go and find Western companies to make Western games. And it's been really successful for people like Square Enix, who have all the IDOS games right now. Konami has made like their Lords of Shadow games are made in the West.
And
so
yeah,
like,
and but then there's also...
Lords of Shadow is made
that's
like in Spain.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you know what the West is.
I don't know what the West is.
How the West was
the West
won.
Is not Japan.
Right.
Well, in that case, it's made in the West. I was thinking hemispheres. And,
right. It's very confusing.
There's also been some failures. There's like that. There's like Capcom has made that mistake, and so have some other companies where it's like, let's give our B-tier franchises to C-tier third-party developer. Like when everyone put all of their stock in Grin for 1 year for some reason, and Grin came out
with
Bionic Commando.
A couple months of each
other. And then immediately went out of business when none of them did well. Like, Grin was
weird.
Grin, every one of their games was fine, but none of them were good.
Capcom's had success. Some success, like Dead Rising, is all made in the West.
Blue Moon.
Blue Moon Entertainment.
Yeah, but then who do they have? Can you look up who they have making Lost Planet 3? Isn't it like D tier third party studio?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
it's like the team that
Lost
made
Planet
Legendary.
But they gave it
to the team that made like Legendary.
Spark Unlimited?
Yeah. What did Spark Unlimited make? Or did they make that game
They made Call of Duty Finest Hour. They made Turning Point. They made Legendary.
Legendary and Turning Point.
Oh, yeah. And they're apparently making Yaiba Ninja Gaiden 2.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
That game.
They are so the new grin. They are.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy, oh boy.
Yeah, but Nintendo has worked with a bunch, like, Nintendo has given big franchises to companies that has very little stock in.
DMC,
like,
went to Ninja Theory, that was another big one.
Yeah, that was, and that one, it didn't work out in terms of money, they lost a ton of money on that, but it was a good game.
Yeah.
But Nintendo had, like, American and Canadian studios do games like Punch-Out, mm-hmm. and Luigi's Mansion, which is made by American, I think it may have been Canadian, but like a Western...
Metroid. Don't forget Metroid.
No, the new one.
Oh, okay.
Metroid Prime. Well, they own them, but there's some companies they don't own that they can just start buying them up and just start like being like, all right, you guys have done well in the past. Here's F-Zero. Like, just start pumping out. Nintendo needs to make sure that every 3 months... Like, how many franchises does Nintendo have that people other than Tom care about?
Let's say
reasonably 10. Let's say a dozen. They could have... one every 3 months and not repeat too often. Like, every 2 years, they'll still have a Zelda Mario.
That'd be wild.
Yeah,
and it's not that unreasonable if they just bought a few more studios, and all of those games would make money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They just need to ramp up their production. Like on Breaking Bad, when they decide they need to make more of the blue methamphetamine, just make more blue methamphetamine.
Yeah, I mean, what you're kind of suggesting here is that Nintendo... doubled down on its first-party franchises and then just stop worrying about third-party franchises.
Yeah, but they don't really have... They're not making those third-party franchises. Like, those third-party franchises are just sort of happening.
Right.
And I feel like if Nintendo's consoles were selling better, people would make games for them. It's sort of this circular thing that Nintendo needs to break out of. And people are like, well, we're not going to make games for the Wii U unless it sells more. And people are like, we're not going to buy the Wii U unless it has more games. And it's like the only person that can fix that is Nintendo.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they are. I mean, by the end of next year, right, we're going to have a good amount of stuff on there.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is a long time. But
and I feel like they could make it, like, we could have even more. Number two, turn the virtual console into the Netflix of retro games. And that's sort of what Tom was hinting at earlier, where why are they trickling this out? Who are they? They're obviously they did it at first to try to maintain interest.
Are you saying release more games?
All
like
of
a
them.
Bigger library?
Every single game should be available right now.
All right. For a second, I thought you were suggesting they stream games.
Well, they should probably.
That would
be awesome saying
too.
Two things. One, all available right now. Two, a monthly plan where you can just download them sort of and play them and keep them as long as you pay that monthly plan.
$20 a month, you can play the original Zelda all year.
And they could even, honestly, they're Nintendo and they have certain grounds to do shit. They could say, like, right. It's not $20 a month, it's $5 per console. Whatever. This month I want to play NES games.
They already have kind of these deals in place because they've been bringing these games to the virtual console already. So
yes.
It's like they already know.
This idea of slowly trickling things out just isn't maintaining interest. When you ask people what's out on the virtual console, nobody knows and nobody cares. But
and
if
the
they
answer
just,
should be everything.
Yeah,
everything
Nintendo can possibly put on there.
Yep.
Is on there,
mm-hmm.
But they're not. So they need to do some kind of subscription. And also, it's this Nintendo mind. And I love Nintendo, but this Nintendo like cutesy mindset where they're like, oh, there's a handheld virtual console and the console virtual console. So if you want to play the Minish Cap, which came out on Game Boy Advance, you have to do that on the 3DS. And if you want to play just Super Mario Brothers, an NES game, you have to do that on the console. And it's like, just stop that. Like, if there's a power issue, then obviously we understand, but don't tell me I can't play Revenge of the Gator on the Wii U. It really shouldn't matter what. If it's a licensing thing, just come out and say it, but you can probably work around that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it'd be like Netflix saying, well, you can watch these movies on your, your Blu-ray.
Phone.
Your Blu-ray movie is the only movies that
like Dr. Horrible never came out in theaters, so you have to watch it on your computer screen.
Well, I mean, there is a difference in that movies don't have to take into consideration controls or retooling or anything like that.
Boy had two buttons.
You could probably do it roughshod.
Yeah, but
it's
not just like an easy, like, the hardware is more powerful so you can just instantly do nothing and it ports. Like, there are tweaks that have to be made to engines.
Yeah, but the Wii U doesn't have a built-in NES or a built-in Super Nintendo. Like, it's not backwards compatible. All of it is being emulated anyway. They just need to make it emulate. Like, it's either way, it's essentially a PC running an emulator when it comes down to it. And the 3DS and the Wii U are just two different powered PCs, both of which can run everything up to the N64 without any problem. Nintendo just should do it.
Do it!
And number one on the list of the top seven things we're surprised Nintendo hasn't done yet, made a Pokemon MMO.
Do it.
Just play that.
I understand why the franchise isn't one already, but it would just make a lot of money. And yeah. Nintendo... And
I just get the sense that they wouldn't even know how to begin to approach that. Like,
well, then that's a good excuse to number three, buy a non-Japanese studio and have them make it. Like, yeah. You really think Activision Blizzard would turn that shit down if you were like, yo, guys, let's partner up.
They practically already have it in WoW.
Yeah. So that's it for the top seven. We don't even need to discuss. That one's just such an obvious one. We don't need to fucking discuss it. Make a Pokemon MMO, Game Freak, or have someone else do it. But that's it for the top seven things we're surprised Nintendo hasn't done yet. You can check out a new top seven every Monday on GamesRadar.com.
Every Monday.
Every single one. And we're going to take a quick break and jump into the news. Welcome back to episode 46 of Radio Radar. We're about to jump into the news, starting with the thing we discussed earlier. Street Pass updates adds four new games.
Yeah, dog.
You buy them?
All Nintendo. All
did you buy them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did not.
I still have yet to play Warrior's Way and Monster Man. Manor, excuse me.
Warrior's Way is fucking awesome. So they're essentially, so the Wii U or the 3DS has Street Pass, where if you walk near somebody who has a 3DS, they share data with you, their Mii dances around, hands you a puzzle piece or whatever. They just added four new games for $5 a piece that all take advantage
five
of that
bucks
technology.
A piece?
They're full games though.
Oh my god.
They're not,
I mean, they're
like,
not great.
But they all
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to drop $20 on Street Pass.
Well, one of them apparently is garbage, so you can save the $5 there. One of them is just a pretty interesting shoot 'em up, and one of them is a rock, paper, scissors, RTS style thing, and one of them is a... I don't know. They all unlock new Mii hats and stuff. So, Ryan, why aren't you buying them?
I mean, I can barely bring myself to play those games just because they take up... It takes a lot of time for you to do all that stuff, and it should be so fast. And so now it's mostly just what I do when I poop, and it's not really a game I like to play just because it's a fun game.
Well, so, these are fun games.
I feel like your 3DS is tainted forever.
You definitely have a significant amount of fecal matter on your 3DS.
I mean, like underneath
it gets in the
screen.
I'd have it no
matter.
Other way.
Yeah.
That's how I prefer my 3DS.
Never
I like
touch your 3DS.
I like it to be moist with fecal matter.
With feces.
Mm-mm.
Scat.
Also,
gross. All too far.
Leavings.
Poop.
Stop.
I could go on.
Don't.
Also in the news, Shigeru Miyamoto.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Shigzy.
Every fucking story.
Is apparently working on a new IP.
Wait, apparently you say Shigeru Miyamoto really wrong.
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Shigeru.
Shigeru? Shigeru Miyamoto?
I've said Miyamoto before.
Oh, okay.
Shigeru Miyamoto.
That's the same as my Mario. That's a Philly accent. That's like the few inklings of my Philly accent that remain, but I had to stop saying Mario because every time I'd say it.
Because you sounded like an idiot.
Well,
you sounded like my grandpa.
Mario.
And admittedly, my grandpa is Italian from New York, so it's probably Mario.
I was, everyone I've talked to, like, everyone's like, you're saying it wrong. I'm an Irish guy. And right. I was like, everyone, like, I learned it from mostly Italian people.
Right.
So, but, working
it's
on a new IP.
It's actually Mario.
Yes. Well, Sabero. That said, it's Wario, not Wario.
I just, let me say I'm really happy with this also awful joke. Sabaro Miyamoto works at Sabaro. Hands out slices.
So you guys, again, I'm gonna recommend
bad.
Probably the worst podcast we have ever recorded.
I'm gonna again ask the community.
The E3 podcast,
I'm gonna ask the community to please make a jingle for when Ryan tells a bad joke.
No.
It should be no longer
impossible.
Than 7 seconds.
No, I mean
long.
They should make a JPEG of Miyamoto behind the counter at
no.
Sparrow
yeah.
with one of those little hats on.
Next
to Ryan.
So Tom. What new IP would you like to see from Nintendo? What genre would you like to
they
see
got a new FPS.
I want them to bring back a baseball game.
No. They have not.
Mario Baseball.
FPS is the only thing they haven't tackled.
That's not true.
And that's what. Well, okay, Metroid Prime That was...
Wild Geist. What about Geist?
Not a shooter.
They did Geist?
Yeah.
Nintendo.
Yes.
Geist.
All right. Now, okay. So just generally, what could Miyamoto do at this point? He's already invented how many genres?
He invented, like, the Minion...
At
genre, the
platformer.
Baseball was all him.
Baseball was all him.
That's why Japanese people like baseball.
That's totally true.
Foosball.
Action adventure. Well, he made, I guess, Zelda.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, it's called...
adventure?
It's, I mean, what is the frontier? I mean, I guess it would have to be an all-new way of playing. Because I don't think Miyamoto would ever
and I bet you it
be
uses
like,
the,
all right, I'm just going to make an action adventure.
Wii music.
It's going to use Oculus Rift.
I was going to say, it's you know, it's whatever it is going to use the hell out of the gamepad.
Vitality sensor?
Except it goes on your wiener tip.
Ew.
Why? You guys are actively trying to make the worst show ever.
I just got excited about that.
Ew, why?
Just close your eyes and picture it.
I'm picturing little Pikmin swarming, and it's terrifying.
Oh, I could have said that.
But that way you don't have to use your hands when you have your hands for the controller.
What the hell would you do?
Another news story. Ratchet and Clank Into the Nexus was announced. $30. Real full-fledged sequel that's an epilogue of sorts to the Ratchet and Clank Future series from the PlayStation 3.
It's weird to me that you would say $30 and then real full-fledged sequel.
I think,
what's the discrepancy?
I think that's a smart move, actually.
I think they know it's not going to sell for shit if it wasn't $30.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll do a lot better that way.
And I'm comparing it to Ratchet and Clank All for One.
Right.
So
why does everyone hate that game? I've never played it.
Because it was just not the game that people want.
Is that the tower defense?
No, that was the one that was a four-player beat-em-up.
Oh, never mind.
The tower defense was a downloadable game only, I think. This was a... Also, the other issue is that Ratchet & Clank games have always done a really good job of having innuendos in the title. And they could have done on all fours or four-play really easily.
Real.
And they just didn't for some reason.
Is Into the Nexus like... Is the Nexus,
is
a booty hole?
I read them say like they decided not to do innuendo, and it's like that still sounds like you're saying into the butthole, sort of.
Into the Nexus?
Into the balloon nut.
Yeah.
Just straight in.
Stop it.
Why?
I'm for it.
Also, the biggest news of the week, the Steam Summer Sale has begun!
It'll still be going on this time next week.
And I get excited about this every year, and then every year I'm like, oh, wow, these are good sales. Too bad I own all of these games.
I've bought six games so far.
I've got about three.
I bought some that I know for a fact I will never install and or play.
That is the whole point
of
the sale.
One of my favorite tweets was something along the lines of, like, bless you, Gaben, for this wonderful bounty of games that will sit in my Steam library and never be installed. Amen.
Yeah, I find that they announce it at 10 a.m. every morning, and at 10 a.m. I'm like, oh, I'm going to buy that, and then I get busy doing other things, and then I forget and go home, and then...
Well, the good news, they're all still available today, because they're actually doing a thing where yesterday's deals are still available.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. I might go buy some Hotline.
You should. It's really... It's like... super cheap.
Yeah.
So I bought Dark Souls.
Oh, I did too. I already owned Dark Souls, but it was $7. Well,
you can mod it out on
prepare
PC.
To die.
Can you? Are there mods?
Yeah.
Dark Souls is a beautiful game.
It really is. And now I have it on my PC forever.
I like how there's actually a warning when you go to buy it. It's like, yo, you should probably have an Xbox controller because this game does not fucking work.
So are the online servers for that game still up and running?
Yes.
I mean, it's been several years.
It's Dark Souls?
It's been two years.
2011.
Yeah. So that's several years.
October 2011.
So not even two. So
not quite two.
Servers are usually up for like 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, the servers are good.
What are the mods?
When Demon's Souls came out, they shut down the servers. They kept saying they were going to shut down the servers, and they're like, everybody keeps asking us to bring them up.
Obviously,
Demon's Souls is a little bit of a different.
Yeah, well, when Dark Souls first ported to PC, like, in the From Software was like, yeah, we've never done anything really on PC, so we don't know how to do
People
this.
Were so mad.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
A lot of the genius of that game.
Well, what they did was when they released it, they're like, we don't know how to make it so you can use a high resolution, for example. So it's like you're playing in this shitty looking... And the game's, like, so pretty, and it's a shame. And essentially the mods, were born out of that player... discovered how to tweak the code so that he could add a resolution option, and it just kind of started going from there. You can get all kinds of custom armor and stuff like that. There's tons of stuff.
I remember seeing a level that was just Bill Cosby's face as the texture.
Yeah. Really? I made a good choice.
And the thing is, that's so fitting with Dark Souls world.
Wow, racist.
I was not making a race comment. I was saying it was horrifying.
You're calling Bill Cosby, a beloved comedian, a dark soul? Really?
Come on. You took it too far again.
I'm so
Bill
disappointed
Cosby
in you.
Bill Cosby said something super offensive a little while ago, didn't he? I can't remember what it was.
Pokemon?
What was it called?
Jell-O pudding.
Slaying all the Pokemon.
That was really bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, it fits.
So, also, bear in mind if you go into the Steam Summer Sale that the page sometimes sucks, and you actually have to go click on the game to see the real sale. Like, there are times today where it was like, oh, this game's 50% off. It says it's $25. That still seems kind of pricey, and then you click on it, and it's just like, no, it's another 50% off. Even though they show you $50, line through it $25, it's actually $12.50. Mm-hmm. It's like,
also,
thanks, that's not confusing as shit.
There are a lot of games that are just on sale for the full duration, but they're never, like, promoted.
Right.
So if you just look up a game that's maybe been on your wish list for a while, you can probably find it for at least a quarter off.
Odds are any game you want is on sale.
Except Singularity.
God dang it. Very, very possible.
Is Singularity not on sale?
I checked yesterday.
Well, it's probably because it's not that great. That's why it's not
Singularity.
It's fun.
I thought the game was all right.
Yeah,
it was all right. I said not that great.
You're jaded, man.
What? It's not that great.
Fucking jaded.
It's all in the
moist.
Tone.
I stand by it. I reviewed that game. It's not that great.
Jade
that
Dynasty great. Right here.
There's a difference between not that great and pretty good. Even though semantically it's the same, quite different.
It's $7 off right now, Lucas.
I'm gonna wait until that's a flash sale.
You are never going to play this game.
As you should.
So that's it for news. Do we have any previews? Can you talk about Beat Buddy?
Yeah, sure.
Wait, do you want to talk about Beat Buddy or do you want to talk about Splinter Cell?
Oh, I want to talk about Splinter Cell.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so
I'd really rather you talk about Beat Buddy. That is not true. Go ahead and talk about Splinter Cell.
All right, I'll do a one-sentence Beat Buddy.
Just real quick, Ryan, can you please contain yourself while we talk about Blacklist and not make racist jokes now?
Okay.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Here's the one sentence preview of Beat Buddy. It's Aquaria with rhythm elements.
It's hilarious that you think people have played Aquaria.
I don't even
know. Dude, that game is awesome.
It's adorable.
It's a great game.
I know for a fact you have it, Ryan.
I don't know what it is.
Because it comes in every humble indie bundle. So you probably have like 12 copies of it.
No.
It's the it's the VVVVVVV of
Terry Kavanagh made a game on Ouya or Ouya. God, I'm just all over the place with pronunciation. He made a game that was literally called like. It was so obnoxious. It was like, try to say this one, guys. I know VVVVV was a challenge.
Like Nexwees?
No, this is like actually he just mashed the keyboard.
That's sort of beautiful. So Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Splinter Cell Blacklist. So I went to a review event. Played
review
the first
event.
Sorry, preview event.
Lucas!
Jesus.
Play the first third of the game in single player, and I'm sad to report that when Michael Ironside is not voicing Sam Fisher, you just stop caring about him.
Really?
Like, he's just
is it that
very
Michael
bland.
Is the voiceover, or who's the voice actor now?
I forget the guy's
miscellaneous
name.
Anime actor number 6. Is it that Michael Ironside isn't doing it, or is it just that the new guy isn't good? Because I feel like if they got a better, like a new, like Michael Ironside sounds like a 90-year-old man now whenever he opens his mouth. So that didn't really, like it barely worked in Conviction. So I feel like I'm okay with them changing the voice, but does the new guy just suck, or do you just really miss Michael Ironside?
Well, he's just bland. And the excuse of like, oh, we want to mocap a younger actor, that just rings untrue with me.
And it's like if I played a Batman Arkham Origins and it's not so much that I miss Kevin Conroy, it's just that the new guy isn't very good.
I mean, I miss Kevin Conroy.
Well, I miss him as well, but that's not the reason I don't think the voice is great.
Spies and Mercs.
Spies and Mercs. Okay, so yeah, single player, cool. Pretty much what you're used to. It's a lot more colorful than
more
Conviction.
Is it more Conviction-ish?
So here's
or
the thing.
Like
I can't speak to that because the last one I played was Pandora Tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
However,
Conviction was amazing. I loved that game.
The best part of Pandora Tomorrow was the multiplayer, Spies versus Mercs. And guess what? It's back. It's better than ever. Whoop!
So it's 2v2 like the original Pandora Tomorrow. Or you could do the Blacklist mode, which is 4v4. And you have mercs who play in first person, and they have to basically defend these things from being hacked. And then you got the spies who play in third person, and they can do, you know, one-hit kills if they sneak up on people.
Hmm. So and it's like, is it the same as what was in Double Agent?
Again, I can't speak to that.
Yeah. It sounds like this. That was the last multiplayer for Splinter Cell I played. Yeah,
okay. Was there were there classes on the mercs and spies sides in that one?
I can't remember. I don't think so.
You know, Splinter Cell has actually had consistently good multiplayer, because even in Conviction, the co-op was really, really cool there, too.
Well, I remember the competitive aspect in Conviction some people weren't happy with. Or
I don't know
so
if I played that.
Recall
I reviewed that game and I genuinely don't remember it. So,
yeah. But speaking of co-op, the co-op was pretty fun. Me and Frank, we killed some terrorists.
Oh
together.
Well,
good work. Good work. Yeah, doing Obama's justice.
Thanks, Obama.
Dude, I asked you not to be racist during the Blacklist discussion,
and yet here we are. But yeah, I'm foreseeing spies versus mercs being like that kind of multiplayer mode that you just get into for months after the game's out. Kind of like Mass Effect 3.
Which actually is good that this game is coming out in August, because that gives us like a solid month and a half of playing.
Little sneak preview. I'm trying to set up a Splinter Cell Blacklist Spies versus Mercs US versus UK for the 24-hour live stream.
Oh.
What do you think about that?
That'd be fun.
We're doing a 24-hour live stream.
We should be the Mercs.
I mean, you play both sides.
Well, we're Merca, so... America.
Oh, get it?
Somehow you managed to make a bad joke worse in this case.
That's the gift God gave me.
That's
a
your good gift. Blessing, and that's your curse.
It's true.
So exciting! And the single player. You said you haven't played Conviction. I heard they'd made some change. How does mark and execute work?
You literally just press right bumper on whoever you're looking at. You can pick, I think, up to two targets. And then if you're in range, you can do a one button press to snipe your targets.
So pretty much the same then?
Yeah, sounds like it's the same.
Awesome.
But yeah, I went from being indifferent to that game to actually pretty excited. So
yeah,
it's looking good.
Yeah, cool. All right, and you can check out a preview on GamesRadar.com as well.
And a sweet video of us, or me rather, killing a bunch of people. And a lot of dogs.
IRL.
Just punching the shit out of some
There's
dogs.
There's literally a clip where I feel so bad laughing at it, but
I'm gonna.
I go to do a, what's the thing? The marking thing?
Mark
that we
and
literally,
execute?
Yeah, yeah. I do a mark and execute on a guy. But a dog is right there, so I literally just shoot it point blank in the face. And
what kind of dog?
A terrorist dog.
A terrorist.
It's not
pug.
A pug.
Doberman.
It's a Doberman. Yeah, I think
exist.
It's a Doberman.
A German Shepherd.
It's a Doberman.
Doberman.
Doberman. The killer.
Why do they always got to use Dobermans? Why can't they use pugs? Those
they
dogs are
they're vicious.
They should have used like one of those big
a Basset Hound.
Fuck. Never mind.
What? That, like a Beethoven dog?
No. Like stop.
Like what?
A Mastiff?
Mastiff, yes! Mastiff was the correct answer!
I really
answer.
Wish you hadn't given him that. He's actually sweating.
He headbutted his microphone.
Mastiff.
I'm so angry.
Those dogs are large.
An English Mastiff.
Alpine Mastiff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's ugly.
Let me see. Extinct. Don't worry. It's extinct.
Why are they extinct?
It just looks like one of those nasty dogs from Resident Evil that's been just turned into a zombie.
Ew.
Ew.
Are they extinct because they all became zombies?
Yes.
Oh. Uh-huh. Well, that makes sense.
Moving.
All right. I think that's all the previews we have. All right. We'll be right back with the community segment. Welcome back to the third and final segment of Radio Radar episode 46. Greg is not here, so we're gonna have to pull up our pants and do the community segment ourselves. But first, we have some reviews.
Been down
I have my pants
time.
On. They have been on the entire time.
No,
my
they have not.
Belt is affixed? Buckle.
Affixed works, too.
You pierced your skin with the belt buckle.
You are bleeding to death. We have some reviews that went up on the site over
we
the last...
many, several
yeah.
reviews.
A lot of handheld games.
Civ 5?
Dark?
World?
Yeah. It's called Dark.
Which I'll talk about in a few minutes.
Oh, good. Okay.
Muramasa.
Muramasa.
Reviewed by our intern.
Intern, Dave the intern, a.k.a. Nugget.
Nugget, yes.
He thought that game was all right. 3.5.
It wasn't great, is what he said.
Wait, solid. That's the official terminology.
Shin Megami Tensei 4.
It is physically solid.
Which Henry reviewed and gave it a 4 out of 5.
He thought
that's
it was
a great.
All right.
That's a great.
That's a great.
Pretty good.
Thought it was wonderful.
Mario and Luigi Dream Team.
What
did we give that? I never actually looked at the score.
3.5.
No.
Out of
4.
3 out of 4.5.
We gave it a 4.
We gave it a 4. Sorry. I can't read very well.
Hi, I'm Tom. I don't know how to count.
We gave it a 5.
What the heck come after 5?
It was very small on my monitor, and I couldn't see the other half.
That's what she said when he sent her new pics.
Insensitivity. Insensitivity.
Insensitivity.
Insensitivity.
Insincerity.
Insincerity.
Insin.
Thanks, you're late to the party.
Oh.
Insus.
Oh, the spy party.
Incessant.
We should just take
if
the
I
podcast,
was late to the podcast,
throw it out the window.
Throw it out the window.
I was late to the party. Like, you guys were like, we're already leaving. Ryan arrived in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. It's bombed out. And he leaned in and went, and then walked away.
That'd be a good movie.
I whispered sweet nothing.
So Mario & Luigi Dream Team was a 4 out of 5. It's the latest in that line of RPGs.
That you will never play.
No, I actually like the RPGs.
Do you?
Well, I like the Paper Mario game.
These are similar enough. You'd probably dig them.
I probably would.
Yeah,
because they actually they have a bit of verve to them.
Yes,
a little bit of an edge.
Yes,
it's good.
They're racist.
They're racist.
Yes.
Gross.
I reviewed Civ 4 Brave New World.
Civ 5.
Civ 5 Brave New World. Hi everyone, welcome to the podcast. We're all tired. Civilization 5 Brave New World.
Episode that the wheels fell off.
That's fine. We're a sled now. It all worked out in the end. That wasn't good, but it wasn't as bad of a joke as the reception it got. I'm just going to throw that out there.
You're talking about Civ 5 Brave New World.
I didn't even realize I was supposed to laugh at that joke.
You were supposed to acknowledge it. Civilization
giggle.
5 Brave New World, second expansion for Civ 5. The first one was a lot more... a lot punchier. Had a lot more... bullet points were easier to acknowledge. You had religion and faith added to the game. That alone, huge change. This one...
Caravans.
Caravans is one of the bigger changes in this one. Not as sexy.
No, not at all.
major overhauls to the culture system involving museums. Not incredibly sexy.
No.
Not really sexy.
Merchant of Venice?
Venice?
A little sexy.
Venice is pretty fucking sexy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Zulus? Kind of sexy.
Hello.
They added a lot of new civs, obviously, and just a bunch of little changes that overall make the game significantly better. The last expansion just made the game... It just added things that people had wanted. This one balances it out and fixes some problems that Civ has always had. So Civ's biggest issue is... The first, like, 3 hours or 5 hours of any Civ game is the best thing in the world. You're exploring. You eventually get the ability to, you only know what you can find. You're still sort of feeling out where you exist in this massive world that's randomly generated. And then you get the ability to go actually into the ocean, and you start exploring the entire world, and it's just incredible. It's one of my favorite experiences in gaming. And then it just kind of starts getting repetitive. You kind of have to decide, all right, how am I going to win? Right. Like, the idea of winning doesn't actually come into play until you've discovered the whole world, and then it turns into a game.
At some point in Civ, you either become the U.S. or you become Congo.
Yes.
Sri Lanka.
Yes.
You become...
Sri Lanka? Why that specifically? Because racist?
What? No, I mean, just a country that isn't doing well.
You went for it.
I thought one time I could do it. I fucking hate myself.
Tasmania.
Remember that Tasmanian Devil Genesis game?
Australia.
I played the shit out of that.
That game was fun.
Ireland?
So
is Ireland doing well?
How about Iceland? Their economy.
How about Greece?
Greece is a
you
good choice.
Greece.
Sweden.
No, Sweden's doing well.
Greece is good. Their economy is they're bankrupt. Even more than the US with its like $16 trillion in debt is bankrupt.
Right.
So this game adds a lot of things. The idea of caravans and trade routes. Routes or routes? Someone help me.
Routes.
Routes.
Trade routes.
Route.
You would be the descendant.
No, it is root. No.
Trade roots.
Oh, God. Wait. It's because router and route are said differently.
What's the song? Route 66.
Route 66.
So it is root.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
So root
trade 66, roots.
But it's router with a modem.
Route 66.
Yeah, okay.
So
router 66. With...
Caravans and trade boats... or trade ships. So essentially in the other one, it'd be like, oh, there are nearby cities. You have roads going to them or whatever. You get some extra gold. In this one, you actually get a caravan that you need to pick what city it goes to. And depending on how different your resources are and population is and stuff like that, changes what you get from them. So a vastly different city will give you more gold. And they can be—they're actual units, so they can be attacked or captured or killed by pirates or barbarians or whatever. It adds a lot more strategy, and you become more reliant on city states and stuff. And if a city state's being attacked, that before it'd be like, I'm going to protect a city state because every fucking 500 years they give me a unit that I don't need. Now it's like, well, that city state's adding a lot to my economy. That's a huge addition. The other big thing is the World Council. So. When you meet every civilization, that part that I described where the game just drops off a little actually spikes up now. So when you meet every civ in the game, you found a world congress of sorts that every few turns you actually you get to vote on enacting world policies like banning ivory or world fair, and that everyone can contribute to the world fair, or even things like imposing sanctions on one country. You create like a... And it may, and depending on how many city states and that you have that are subservient to you or that you're allied with, you get more votes, and you can buy people's votes. It makes it so that element where the game's it adds it in the perfect spot, and it just keeps making things better instead of stopping them.
Well, this is still get to a point though where it's like, well, you know, this game's pretty much over. I'm at this.
Not as much. I think it kind of fixes that. I ended up giving it a 4 out of 5. Just because the expansion itself, like I said, it doesn't really have those sexy bullet points. It adds a bunch of little things that make Civ a significantly better game, which I guess for an expansion is the most you could hope for. But I would have rathered some other changes, potentially.
You're ready for Civ 6.
I'm sort of getting ready for Civ 6. I still love Civ 5. I put like 60 hours into the expansion when I got it for review. And Venice, I want to talk about Venice, because Venice is sexy. Where, like I said, the trade routes, you can have a set amount of them. Venice can have double, which is just ridiculous. It means you can essentially be making double the money.
Hope.
The downside is you can't build settlers or annex cities you take over. So you're sort of limited to just Venice.
Right.
But you do get the Merchant of Venice I think you get two of them for the entire game that can walk into any city state and then you just buy it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you can if you do take over a city and you puppet it, you can buy from cities you puppet, even though you can't normally. So a bunch of cool stuff like that. I really liked it.
Did you and Jess end up pulling out that game?
Yes.
Did
we never finished it. We got super close though, but we're getting to the point where like the game's just naturally gonna end. So we had a game where we were like, my wife and I were playing, we were on this one island and we're like, let's just play militaristic. And we just took over like the three civs on that island. And we're like, we are the crown. We are the most powerful force in the world. And then when we got to explore the rest of the world, it was like, I imagine that there was probably a time where there was like a tribe in Africa that was like, we destroyed all the other warlords. And then all of a sudden some people with guns roll up and you're like, oh, fuck.
We made some mistakes.
But we decided, we're like, you know what?
We're pirates.
No one's going to take over our city because we're in the middle of nowhere. So we just made a massive armada and went in and just started taking over with our fucking sticks and stones. We'd be like, let's just go after Egypt's capital. And just like ran in and took it over. And we're like, yeah! It was really a cool feeling because we were so not in a position to do that. Mm-hmm. And we just decided like,
but
all right.
But you were willing to go there.
Yeah, we were willing to take the losses. Yeah. And game's super fun. Definitely recommend it. And it's been on, like, it's just, if you, like, I think Civ is like $10 now with the Steam Summer Sale.
It's pretty cheap.
So go do that. Community segment.
All right.
We have a jingle. We're not going to play it because it's pretty much just a long reference to Greg. who will be back the week after next. But we do have the question of the week from last week. What non-video game do you like the most? And I have some answers for it. John Dagger, D&D, motherfuckers.
Whoa.
Sure, I may play online with my friends using Roll20, which is like a chat program that lets you facilitate D&D games. That was an editor note, by the way. That was just my nerd knowledge.
Nerd.
But goddamn if it isn't the most fun I have every week. Cracking jokes about how to kill a goblin with a leather belt or arguing about the best way to sneak past a sentient fishbowl. D&D is something I could recommend to anyone with a sense of humor and a couple of spare hours a week. Easy peasy lemon squeezy wrote the Karma Sutra. That's all. That's all.
Good.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Good
wrote.
For you. Living a full and healthy life.
Thombulus. I bought Pandemic and the subsequent expansions after a recommendation from this website.
Hey, hooray. Ryan.
That was you,
article.
Ricky.
I'm bleeding.
It was an excellent call. The only frustration is that I've played it perhaps 30 times and beaten it maybe 5.
It's a hard game. It's
I've
not
only
easy.
Played it once, and I think it was with you.
I played it.
And I won.
3 or 4 times, I've won most of those games.
Yeah.
But then again, a lot of them I was playing with Evan from PC Gamer, who's played the game a billion times, so he always
PC
knew.
Gamer's Evan Lottie is a board game god.
Yeah, he knew all the secrets, so he shepherded us to safety.
Yeah. Pat Pan.
That makes it
Beehive.
All the more funny when we were playing. Is that what was the game that we were playing at Greg's party that one time?
The Resistance.
The Resistance, and I just like bullied Evan into making a terrible decision.
You bullied every single person into making terrible decisions, while all of the people on the other team that you didn't know about just exchanged glances like he's handing us this victory.
Yeah.
He is like, we've done nothing, and Tom's like need to command this game has led to his...
I ended up sending every single spy on the last
Yeah, the
mission.
Way the game works is that it's you have people that are secretly spies working against the rest of the group, and if one spy makes it onto the last mission, the spies win. And Tom bullied everyone into putting all of the spies.
Every single spy.
Three of them. Three of the, I think, 5 people who went on the mission. And I think at one point I actually looked around the room and I'm like, there's no way we're not winning this because there's Tom is not going to let us lose.
Was Tom a spy?
No,
that's what made it so good.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Pat Han Beehive said, for me it'd be Scrabble and or Monopoly. Putting down dirty words in Scrabble is just hilarious, and screwing over everybody and watching them go crazy in Monopoly is the world's biggest evil to date. I'd think the genocide of the Jews in the 1940s would be higher, but
you would.
Pat Beehive does not agree. Super Giraffe, there's a card game called Gloom where you're given a family and you need to play cards to make your family as miserable as possible before
oh
killing
them. Oh my god,
them.
I need to play this game.
When
yeah,
the game is over, pretty... you get points on how sad your characters were when they died.
Oh my
wow.
God.
Of course, you're not just throwing random cards. When you play a card, you have to invent a scenario or explain why that family member is sad, which can create some very dark and funny stories. I'm totally buying this
yep.
when I get back to my desk.
Yep. Oh man, this
and
is fun.
The winner, R. Carrasco, 121, Jenga. And here's why I'm giving it to this guy, or girl, I don't know, or whatever, I don't know.
No, however you want to be identified.
We accept you.
We accept you. Jenga, it's the most emotionally involving game ever created. When I'm responsible for that tower falling, my heart stops beating for a moment. I scream out in anger and throw myself out the window. I totally... like, when you're... like, Jenga is like, it's like, all right, it's nervous. When it starts falling, it's just like, if I had a needle in my hand that I could stab into my neck and kill myself before it hit the ground and I had to deal with everyone laughing, I'd be a dead man by now. Like, that pure, like... I want to die feeling you get as that fucking
same feeling I got playing Little League and my dad would watch me and berate me afterwards.
He had a rough
just saying, well, you're weak for a man, aren't you?
It's true, yes. What he would say, he'd say, you know, if you were my real son, you would actually hit the ball sometime instead of quit jumping out of the batter box.
He'd say, I'd say chin up, but I know that's not possible.
Oh, jeez.
You're reigniting all these old hurts. My old wounds have reopened.
All right, and before we get into this week's question of the week... Oh, yeah, and R. Casco 121, shoot an email to GregH@GamesRadar.com, and he'll give you some kind of present.
It'll be wonderful.
Before we get into this week's question of the week, check in on Psychonauts.
Yeah, so we kicked off 2 weeks ago now.
Yes.
Games Radar's Game Club, where we're going to go back and play a bunch of really important games that are relatively inexpensive and widely available And the very first one we're doing for the month of July is Psychonauts.
And you haven't played it, right?
I had not played it before. Correct.
How is it so far?
I'm really enjoying it. I'm about 4 hours in, I would say. And here's like a lot of people talk about Double Fine games and the stuff that Tim Schafer has worked on. You know, a lot of them hold those games in very high regard because they're often very funny and stuff. I've not played a ton of his games, and I didn't really know what to expect going in, but it is a very, very, very funny game. And I cannot remember, Lucas, help me out here, the name of that little character.
Dogen?
Dogen is like a character who is basically a head attached to giant feet.
All right.
And he is like a very disturbed and scared child that also explodes squirrels with his brain. Because you're playing as Raz, and the whole goal of the game is you're going through training to become a psychonaut, a secret police kind of person that uses their mind powers. But the game's really fun. I'm really enjoying it. I wonder if it'll get much more complicated than it is now, because it's kind of just a basic platformer with very light combat elements.
And does it feel aged? Like, no, Beyond Good and Evil did at times.
Not really so far, because I think the way the game was designed was just to be very simple, but, you know, kind of keep you really entertained with its humor. And so far, it's working out really well. I'm still pretty early on yet, so it's kind of hard to say.
And Lucas, you've played through it a few times. Does it get more complicated, or is Ryan looking at pretty much, and the listeners?
No, I mean, it never gets much more complicated than Mario 64 controls.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like one thing that I'm not having a ton of fun of is, like, you have to dig up these arrowheads as currency to unlock equipment that you need to unlock stuff in missions later on that kind of add more context to what's going on in the world, because you unlock kind of like memories of the characters that whose heads you're in, and it's just like sometimes that's really time consuming to dig these things up, and like that part I do not like.
It is optional
at all, but yeah, it is an optional thing. But no, it's really fun, and I think the characters are great, and I'm looking forward to seeing where it's going. So definitely check that out. We'll put a link to it in this episode. Yep. On the site. Play Psychonauts with us, and then at the end of the month, we're going to do an in-depth spoiler cast about the game. So.
Yep. And so I have a question of the week, unless anybody else has one they were thinking of. Starting from a conversation earlier, what genre of game do you think is in dire need of sort of like a big leap forward? You could say that
a kick in the pants.
The shooter genre, this generation in particular, got that in the form of both cover systems and iron sights. Like, it essentially moved forward. Is there any other genre you think needs to? I'll go first, and I think fighting games. I'm a fan of some fighting games. I like the UFC games because I feel like those are the closest to actually, and I know that's technically straddling the line between sports and fighting, but it's still essentially a fighting game. I feel like fighting games are in need of that thing that makes it more than Street Fighter 2. Like, they haven't really moved forward from what I've played. Like, even the best, even the super competitive fighting games are still, you're doing moves against an enemy who can block them. The interaction isn't as much as I'd like.
I mean, but where do you think it could go?
Like, they've tried Kinect fighting games.
I don't think that's the answer. I just think
It's kind of hard because it's like those games are the closest we have to sports games like football and whatnot, and you kind of need that similar consistent rule set to, I don't know, that's just kind of the way the competitive thing works.
Yeah, it's a tough question to answer, too, because...
All right, new question of the week, then. Y'all can go fuck yourself. What franchise do you want to see a next-gen version of?
I'll go
first. Street Fighter, and I hope it doesn't suck like the last one. No, I'm kidding. Street Fighter's fine. What franchise do you want to see a next-gen version of? I'm looking forward to a next-gen Zelda. What about you, Lucas? I'll hate all of you.
Let me rephrase what I was saying.
No, eat a dick. You're fine.
As long as it's moist.
Stop it!
Goddamn.
What were you saying, Ryan?
The point I was trying to make was sometimes maybe we'll be thinking of genres that we just don't care for. I don't know. Maybe it was a bad question.
So wait, what's the question?
What franchise are you looking forward to a next-gen version of, and why? I'll say I'm looking forward to a next-gen Zelda just because I want to see what Nintendo does when they actually try to make a somewhat realistic game, and I also just want to see a big, fancy HD Nintendo game because we really haven't actually gotten that yet.
Do you know what franchise I want to see evolve and or get a next-gen version of? Bomberman. When are we going to see a new Bomberman?
How could it evolve, though?
I don't know. But it's
Zero?
Exciting. It's Ooh. Exciting to me that they could figure out a new way to do Bomberman.
I want a third... I don't want it to... Not a shitty one, but I want one where there's going to be a scene where somebody puts a bomb down, and then I run towards the camera as the fire explodes, and I have to jump away from it Uncharted style.
Is there, like, a first-person style Bomberman where it's, like, there's eight players in a maze-like map, and you lay bombs?
That would not be fun, because you wouldn't be able to see what's around the corners. So.
I know. Then you'd be like, oh, fuck.
There should be like a quick time event, like you hit a button and you dodge back.
And then you're going to like run around the corner, and you know he's running around the corner with you, and you're going to
the
like,
closest
get
thing
the
you're
way.
Getting is fucking Ricochet.
Well, there's the first-person Mega Man 8 shooter.
Not even
Or Mega Man
I'm not,
8-bit.
I don't know. I don't want that. Yeah. I want a Bomberman-like game.
You want Bomberman first person?
I want a first
honestly,
person Bomberman.
Honestly, you could probably make that relatively easily because you wouldn't need fancy.
Why
just
the hell
be
would I do it? That's not my job.
Hypothetically,
Hudson, Jeez. I know you're dead right now, but
whoever owns that company with
Konami.
A B for a logo,
Konami owns it.
Konami doesn't have the money for that either.
I know. Bring me a first person Bomberman. I want to see it on the next gen. Don't give it Kinect controls.
Oh, no, a bomb! You jump behind your couch and hide.
Oh, my God.
Except it's Kinect 2.0, so it still knows you're there. Yeah. Fucking creeper.
Dude, this is a genre waiting to happen.
Lucas, your turn, because I'm still thinking.
Okay. I'm going to go with Unreal Tournament, because Ooh. I really wanted to like Unreal Tournament 3. And the way... It basically was Gears of War graphics with arena shooter gameplay, which should have been amazing.
That's sort of what you probably would have asked for if you had actually specifically been like, what do you want? You're like,
Yeah,
this.
But the problem was they changed all the weapons so that they were either less effective or just less fun to use. So if they were to
They realistic'd it up a little more than they should have.
Yeah, and it ended up, like, the graphics were amazing, but they ended up looking really bland because the old, like, UT Game of the Year in 2004, they would have set pieces that were super colorful and imaginative in their arenas. 3 was just like, no, you're in a temple.
It was red. The entire game was red. Everybody's armor was red. Every environment was red.
Yeah.
It's a red-ass game.
I would like to see Unreal 4 engine. Unreal Tournament.
Man, this is tough for me. Shit, I don't know. it's going to be such a long time until this happens, but I would like to see what From Software does with a Souls game, not necessarily Dark, but if they rebrand that, and like they did from Demons to Dark Souls in the future, I'd like to see what they can do with next-gen tech, just because, you know, in Demons and Dark Souls, like, they ran into technical limitations, and it had a lot of frame drops, and it could have probably been a little bit bigger and connected, so I would like to see
Wouldn't
it
be awesome if that game had haptic feedback, where, like, when a dragon bites your face off,
you die.
You actually feel, like,
you lose
searing
a chunk of flesh.
Pain on your face?
Yeah, I don't know.
That seems like it would fit well in the Dark
nothing
Souls.
Nothing's stopping you from playing that way.
Yeah.
Just get
just turn your oven on,
right,
and have a knife
in your head.
Get out the knife. Lay it next to the controller.
And just roll. Just tuck and roll.
You just cut.
What if they... Do you think Dark Souls gameplay would work if it wasn't a medieval fantasy setting?
As like a sci-fi game?
Yeah, or, I don't know, modern day? Cause
how about Dark Souls except as a Star Wars game where you have lightsabers and shit?
Sci-fi Whoa. Dark Souls.
Holy smokes.
That would work, right?
I'm ready.
You become a blue glowy when you die?
All like, it has to be is
that's what they called them when
Supremely
Star Wars Galaxies.
Evil kind of,
what if you're in like the Matrix, but
like abominations everywhere?
Yeah.
Abomination.
Yeah.
Right on.
Righteous.
All right, so that's the question of the week. Answer it either in the comment section of the article on Games Radar, or on Facebook, or on Twitter at GR Radio Radar, or just Games Radar on Facebook. Also, remember to review us. We got a bunch of reviews.
Don't review us based on this episode. Go listen to other episodes.
This episode was great. We talked about penises.
We talked about moist objects.
I hate you. I fuck off.
And we talked about Nintendo. That's the trifecta of things Tom cares about.
We should have just talked about League of Legends all day.
There we go. God, are we playing?
Actually, hold on. Before we leave, we had that one news story we didn't talk about. The League of Legends tournament concluding at the Staples Center.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Also, the U.S. government said that esports are as much of sports and when it comes to the government
legal visas
League of Visas as
League of Visa?
As, like, football.
football.
That's exciting news.
Whoa, really?
We did it.
Now we got Diamond Procs coming to our
We specifically did this.
Yep.
Yeah. It was entirely because of Edward joining Curse.
Does that count for fighting games as well?
Although Curse got smoked.
It's esports.
Yeah, they did. That was embarrassing.
I wonder how will they define esports, because it could just be like, you know, my friend from Iraq wants to come over. We're going to play some Call of Duty.
We're going to play some League.
Not even that. It's like, we're going to play some Bomberman. Is that cool? It's an e-sport now.
Well, I'd imagine it works the same way real sports do. I
was going to say, you can't be like, yo, my friend is going to come over. We're going to throw the football around.
Right, yeah. You got to be registered on a pro team or
something. Have you been watching the LCS at all?
A little bit.
I can't have it on at work. I tried.
I mean, you've done it.
We tried yesterday.
I genuinely tried.
You did it for like 2 hours.
And it fucked me dirty.
Yeah,
I was unable to concentrate.
At one point I asked you a question and you said, hold on, and you were standing at your desk looking at your screen, which is low.
That was like, bad for me. I made a mistake. I fucked up.
You can admit that.
Yeah. I have a problem.
I have a problem,
Keep
too.
It outside of work hours.
Yeah. Is it going on? You think it's going on right now?
Oh, shit.
It might be. All
right. Yeah. All right. Well, with that then...
Peace out.
We'll talk to you later, and,
You need an outro. You need an
Radio
outro.
Radar, out! Is that an outro?
It's my outro.
Oh. I'll do the Henry outro.
We're scooping.
Goodbye, everybody!
Goodbye!
No, it's,
Until next time, go
wash your hair every day.
All right, everyone, take care and keep gaming. I lost all confidence in that. We're not leaving this room until I have an outro. All right,
everyone. Take care. And
I'm actually jealous of Lucas because Lucas has his What Is Up You Guys intro, and I like that.
What is up, you guys?
I don't have an intro or an outro. I'm never going to have a personality.
I have an intro and an outro.
I know you
Wait, what's your intro?
Hello, my internet friends.
That stupid intro.
Hello, my internet friends, and welcome to episode 46 of Radio Radar. I am Tom Magrino, joined by...
I need to step up my game.
I know.
What do I do for an outro?
Radio Radar?
That has
turning,
bit...
Turn the knob
to 11. Turn this music on.
It's...
All right.
Radio
we
Radar.
Out.
Until next time, enjoy your lunch.
No, wait, I got it. All right. All right, until next time.
So, what would you guys
Oh, you didn't even pass me.
I'm
not Tom effing Magrino.
Yes, you are.
I've seen your mom.
Let's not get into
this. Is his mom cute?
Better? Oh, my God.
Really?
Oh,
are you being serious right now?
She is so ugly.
Oh,
wow.
Okay, that's
so ugly.
That's unkosher. That's
so ugly
not kosher.
That she would not go better with champagne and caviar. Which is to say, which goes better with champagne?
I don't like where this conversation
goes. You're going to cut all of this out?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Champagne.
The ugly mom.
Caviar.
I'm just kidding. I'm sure your mom is unbelievably hot.
I don't do mom jokes.
I'm not doing mom jokes either. I do
like,
moms.
Yeah, there you go.
What is the question?
Which goes better with champagne or caviar?
Oh.
Is it Lucas's mom?
Ew.
The funny thing is I know that of the people in this room, the person least okay with the jokes going on right now, Lucas Sullivan. I use Super Smash Brothers Melee.
As a way to plug
yeah.
Super Smash Bros. Weekly.
Yeah, if you're not watching Super Smash Bros. Wii U Weekly, you should watch it on YouTube.
Or on the website.
I'm out!
And then eat some champagne and caviar. I went with Farmville, because only in Farmville can you actually farm grapes to make champagne and also fish to get that caviar. So it's kind of like a farm-to-table situation. A farm to table.
Cutting out the middleman. You are the manufacturer.
Correct.
That's wonderful. Also, that's really dumb.
Can you stop playing footsies with me, man?
He doesn't. He never stops.
I can't help it. I got a blank card, which I will assume is a wild card, and I'm going to go with Braid because that seems like a game.
Oh,
you would,
what?
You
I'll
would
trade you.
Sip on some. Oh, how about that? Hey, I did
you
just
pull,
now play
you pull Braid.
Because, you know, I think that's one of the games where you really have to sip caviar and drink. Shit.
Shatid?
Champagne. Yeah.
So, Lucas, what did you, really what are you going to play?
Meaty
also, Lucas, the funnier joke would have been not giving him that and then just playing Braid immediately after.
Here's the thing, though. I'm going to use the wild card and say Tom's mom, because freak you, Tom.
Oh! It happened.